I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, babe!
Welcome, one and all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. Thank you for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are counting down. We are coming down to it. We are in the final 10. Get your brackets out. If you like March Madness, I'm sure we can figure out some sort of thing to do with that because we're in the final 10 episodes of the Van Halen catalog. That's right. We are getting down to it. We're not done yet. There's still plenty of show left to cover, but just letting you know that the wheel is dwindling and we are preparing. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, are you ready to get down on the final 10 of the catalog?
I am. I got to say, I'm in a really great mood and not even you can ruin that, Mark Kammeyer, because all day I've been listening to Van Halen 2.
Damn.
And I'm listening to Van Halen 2 because Friday night, you're listening to this sometime Friday. Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, we're going live with our Van Halen 2 ranking show. I've been getting all the votes in from our Patreons and special guests, and I'm going to have those all tabulated. And we have some special guests. Eric Senich will be joining us. Kelsey, yeah. Maybe. It's her birthday that night, so we'll be partying in honor of Kelsey. But if she gets home in time, she's going to hop on the call with us. She's looking forward to it. And Chris L. from Pot of Thunder will be joining us as well, as his entry into Van Halen is from this record, Van Halen 2. If you remember all the way back to show number 8, Mark, we had Chris Zell, and he was our very first guest, and told us the story about how he got into Van Halen with a certain track on there. I won't spoil it. We'll have him tell it again on the weekend. So I've been listening to Van Halen 2 and just loving my life all damn day. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, here we are, T-minus 10, and the podcast will rock, T-minus 10. That seems monumental in a way. We need to bring on a special guest, I thought. So when they all said no, I asked Kevin Brown, and here he is, Kevin Brown. How's it going, my friend?
It's going very, very well. Like I said to you, I, you know, as a guest on your show, the good thing about me is I'm always available.
And that's what your wife has been telling her friends for years. Like, you know, if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy.
Find me handy, absolutely. Handsy. No, handy.
Yeah, handy. Easy now.
The funniest part about every time, first of all, welcome back, Kevin. It's always a pleasure having you here. We love it. Corey especially loves it because it's just so funny. He busts your balls constantly, and you take it like a champ, and you're just so cordial. That's why you're one of our favorite people, because as much as
Corey just looks to you as an enemy. I don't. I say, no way. That's a friend right there. That's a good, solid dude there. Corey, on the other hand, just, I don't know what his deal is, but I'm sure in the course of the last 10 episodes, we can meet a resolve because I don't know when it happened, but Corey became the crankiest man in the podcasting universe.
Fucking picking at me all night.
Yeah, I mean, don't start with me, Kamar.
You've been listening too much not so great Metallica lately. I don't know. But we're going to get you out of that that cranky fog, and we're going to get you into the rocking mood, because that's what we do here on And the Podcast Will Rock. We rock out to some Van Halen, and we do it one track at a time. That is how the show works. And as I said, we're now down to the final 10 after we're in. Did we agree this is season 3 that we're in right
yes,
now?
Yes, we're currently in season 3. It sounds like the direction the show is going to go after Van Halen. We might have shorter seasons. Not as short as Kevin sure. Brown, where every second show is a new season. He's just started season 87 of Seaside Pod Review. And he's only been on the air for a few weeks, so I'm not sure how that works. You have
it's
to be
impressive. That's
you have to be from Liverpool
there,
to yeah. understand how that works.
See this, I think what it is, Mark. I think the reason why I still hang out with Corey is I think I've got Stockholm syndrome. I think he's beating me down so much. I feel affection for my terrorist. You know,
you do, you do. He's just like this is obviously this is the way Corey shows love, and you're
you know
you're
what
just
it is?
Soaking in all that
no.
love.
Okay, I'm going to break down the fourth wall. It's because it makes Kevin laugh.
Oh no!
So I bust his balls because it always makes him laugh. And I just do it just to see the smile on that beautiful face of his. That beautiful
Look,
liver Putlian face.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I actually really like and respect Kevin quite a bit. I do a podcast with him called The Ultimate Catalog Clash, which, almost done next week as we're recording this. We drop Reload Side D. And then Kevin, who got you on the show, we haven't really talked about what comes after that, but we do a little special episode. Why don't you tease that for the folks here?
So yeah, at the end of each season, we get our friend who's in the chat right now, Scott Haskin, to come on and help us talk about the season that we've just done. So we talk about the songs we liked and what we didn't and how we thought the albums flowed and any issues we had with the band, you know, specifically the little fucking Danish drummer in Metallica. We had a lot of conversation around. And then me and Corey pick our top 10. So our favorite songs from Load, Reload, and Metallica. And we also did a little special thing this time around where we tried to do a mega load. So the best songs from Reload and Load that Corey, I think it was Chris Ooh. Jericho, right? Classic yeah. album clash is that they did the same thing. So we got into that a little bit because, you know, if you trim that 27 songs down to about, well, I got it down to 10, which you weren't happy with. I think it's a better album. You know, you just trim some of the fat boys.
I had 15 and it's a better album. But even before that, Kevin, you fucking missed the assignment here. I fucking set you up and you totally blew it. We do a show before that show. What did we talk about on that special
oh, that
episode?
One you
want
to talk
yes.
about. Oh, right. Fuck, we got to be specific with me. You know this.
Well, this is why Corey's mean to Kevin.
Exactly. Well, look what I'm working with here.
You can't read his mind, apparently.
You can't turn chicken shit into chicken salad.
Is that a Weyburn thing? No, we race them into... No, I'm not, I don't even know what I'm talking about now. So the special episode that Corey's asking me about specifically is, well, you know... Against all my better instincts, and I thought I was going to be done talking about Metallica after these three fucking albums that I didn't think I was going to like. But I thought, you know what? There's two other albums in the 90s that are not album, they're not studio material, but we should talk about them. So we're going to be talking about Garage Inc. and S&M.
Yes.
Got to tell
Hell
you, Mark,
yeah.
I don't know, Mark. I'm very familiar with S&M, but that orchestra elevates some of those songs. Holy shit, they make it better.
I am quite familiar with the S&M album. Yeah. It is, if I'm being completely honest with you, it at least cracked my top three of Metallica albums. Just because, but I'm a, you know, look, I did choir for years. I was in the world of choir and band and orchestra, especially in college. So like that's kind of my wheelhouse. I did opera, so like I'm into the orchestration and all that. Yeah. So when Metallica did it, I thought ballsy move. Let's see how that works out for them. And to my shock, and I think a lot of other people in the world too, it was shockingly really really good. I don't know what it was the fans were expecting from that album, but whatever it was, it exceeded the expectations because it's fantastic.
Could not agree more. So yeah, we have Reload Side D, then we have that show, the Garage Inc. / S&M show, and then our season wrap. And we've already recorded that. So Kevin and I both know the band or artist who is selected for season 3. So we're not going to tease that here tonight. unless Kevin wants to drop some hints, but that'll be coming out in the next like month or so.
Yeah, no hints. Right, I think we'll save that one. I think.
All right.
There you go. Keep it close to the vest, but until that time, yeah, be sure to check out that show. Be sure to check out all the stuff that Kevin and Corey are doing. But for now, you came here for some Van Halen, not Metallica. So what do you say we get into what's going down over at the Van Halen news desk? What's the good word, Corey?
Well, I tell you what, we have a few different articles here. This one's absolutely fantastic. Alex Van Halen's brother's biography, a discussion with authors Greg Renoff and Chris Gill. This was on the Eric Sanich program, Booked on Rock, which is, no joke, legitimately one of the greatest podcasts out there right now. It's one of my all-time favorites. And you couldn't have a better panel to talk about Alex's upcoming book than Greg Renoff and Chris Gill. Kevin, I know you're currently reading Van Halen Rising, just an amazing book. And Chris Gill's Eruption, also fantastic. But they actually were talking about all things Van Halen and Alex, things that they were hoping to read, things they're thinking they're going to read. Even things like, do they ever see Alex performing again on stage? And if so, will it be in the form of a Van Halen tribute? You can actually get those clips on the Van Halen news desk here. Eric was kind enough to clip them out, and there are little clips on there. Greg Renoff, Chris Gill, will Alex ever return to the stage? I won't ruin it for you. I watched it, but and there's kind of a look at the cover art. I know a lot of people aren't really crazy about the cover art. I like it. Brothers, Alex Van Halen. Yeah, it's a shot of the brothers. What else do you want? Of course, you can pre-order that, again, directly from the Van Halen store. And if you do, you'll receive a collectible item as a special bonus. I've already, I'm hoping my email was the first on the wait list, because as soon as that dropped, we were on the air, Mark. And as you were rambling on about such bullshit or whatever, I was typing in, I was getting on the wait list so I could get my copy of Brothers with that special collectible item. But that's a tremendous interview. Everyone is going to want to go check out.
I ramble on the show for your benefit, asshole.
So yes, you do. That's when I run off to go to the bathroom is when you ramble. Yeah.
when you guys know that I get into a long ramble, that's when you know Corey is backstage doing something else that he needs me to cover. So, you know, illusion
it's gonna be,
shattered.
It's going to be happening again soon.
And everything.
Yeah, whenever you get into the Twitter, I'm bringing you in full screen. I'm going to run off and pee again. And I'm sure Kevin's going to have to, you know, go shovel or something, because in Saskatchewan, we had about 8 feet of snow dumped on us. And poor Kev doesn't have a snowblower. I got a snowblower, so I only had to like blow up my laneway once. But you must have been out there like 5-6 times shoveling. I almost feel bad for you.
Yeah, I did 4.5 hours so far, and I've still got a bunch more to do to get it from around the house. But you know, it's snow. That's what we live here. We deal with it. It's all
you
good.
Know, you choose to live here, so it you know you have no one to blame but yourself. Let's get back to the Van Halen news desk, though, shall we? And let's talk about Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony talking about the top live songs for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Of course, we're finished for Unlawful now. We're going to be doing our live show in April. We're planning something a little special again. I won't tease too much about that, but that'll be coming up in April. But they talk about their favorite cuts to do live and kind of the biggest songs to do live. So you may want to go check that out. That was pretty interesting. And then, geez, today, Wolfgang Van Halen responds to David Lee Roth. Folks will remember not that long ago, David Lee Roth, just out of nowhere, unprovoked, just started talking shit about Wolfie. And he was talking shit about the brothers too a little bit in other videos, but specifically Wolfgang and stuff that went down on the two tours that he toured with Wolfie, and you know, just you know, the whole nepotism thing. So Wolfie finally, in an interview with 99X in Atlanta today, gave us a quote for Mr. David Lee Roth, where he says, quote, "I guess I'm honored he even thinks about me as much as he seems to. I guess you have to take what he says with a grain of salt, considering he also said that he wrote Eruption, came up with the Frankenstein. He said he wrote all the solos that Dad wrote. I seem to have been born into this Van Halen drama that has come way before me, and I guess now that my dad isn't here to be a target, I guess he went to the next best thing." So there, people have been waiting for Wolfie to respond to David Lee Roth, and now he has, and in probably the best way you can. I mean, what else are you going to say?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, if he was going to respond at all, which if I'm Wolfie, I don't acknowledge him at all, David Lee Roth at all. But all things considered, he handled that the most perfect way. He didn't do it diplomatically. It was just, oh, this guy's still thinking about me. That's nice, I guess. I'm like, okay, you know, just letting it roll off his shoulder, because as he's mentioned many examples, look, Dave talks shit. Dave says things. Dave makes up all kinds of stories, which begs me to, I got to ask the question, if You know, Dave's written what, one book, or has he written like two little autobiographies?
Just the one right now. Crazy.
Just the one.
Me.
Okay. Makes me wonder if any of that shit's true in there, and then, or if anything he has ever said that we might have taken as a solid fact is remotely true, because we already know how prone to outlandishly lying and inflation of stories Dave is prone to. And because, you know, this is just the kind of guy he is, and he's just going to say what he wants because he's David Lee Roth. Who's going to tell him he's wrong? Well, at least Wolfie can tell him he's wrong. It's like, you said these things too, and these are absolutely not accurate information. So you saying anything about me I guess I'm only flattered that you're still thinking about me. Otherwise, what do I care what you have to say? So good on Wolfie for, you know, going this route at least.
Let's let you know, why isn't Wolfie responded? Why hasn't Wolfie responded? It's probably because he's busy getting on with his fucking career.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
the other guy
he's on tour
necessarily have to worry
yeah,
about.
Like, exactly. Yeah, he's literally like, he's on tour, he's promoting his new album, like he's busy. He's got things to that directly concern him that he's more focused on than the rantings of a bitter old bastard.
You know what I want David Lee Roth to focus on is A, getting his voice fixed or in shape. We talked about this before. Jon Bon Jovi had like a stuck vocal cord. He sounded like shit for so long. He apparently got that fixed, and he's trying to train to get it back in shape, and I'm hoping he does. Maybe David Lee Roth could do something like that. Get his voice back in shape, get the Eat 'Em and Smile band back together, and go on the fucking road and play, you know, songs from the first six albums and Eat 'Em and Smile and Skyscraper and Little Ain't Enough and all that stuff. That's what I want David Lee Roth to focus on. Not picking on Eddie's kid or picking on anybody for that matter, releasing these idiotic videos where he's just dancing around like a moron. Focus on getting your shit together and hit the road, and then you'll be relevant again.
But do you think, because we were on the Discord server, that, you know, if people who are listening and they're not on the Discord, you're not a patron, you should join that because it's a good time in there. There's a video floating around there of the Sydney concert. Was that 2014?
2014, I think.
And his voice isn't good there either, man. I just think he's one of those singers who he got to a point, and I don't think he's getting that back, right? He's not going to get back to 1984, 1987, 98, 99. He's 89. He's kind of, I think that's shot now, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to comment on. At like, I hear what you're saying, Corey, and you're being graciously optimistic in that, but it's like, to what end? Even if he did get his shit fixed and vocally and everything, to what end? Because the man's like almost pushing 80, and you know, he can't move the way he does, he can't sing the way he does. I mean, and honestly, do we want him to come back and do more shit? Like, because I know you do. I at this point do not. we have long established that we can appreciate the contributions to music Dave gave to us, a la his time in Van Halen, all of that, you know, whether some songs better than others, but we can appreciate all of that, that entire era. We can even appreciate some of the solo material he put out during those times when he, after he was gone from Van Halen. But his best years are behind him, far, far behind him. And also, in light of recent events, I don't think anyone gives two shits anymore.
And I got to correct myself and Kevin Rudd. It was 2013 that bootleg was from Sydney.
No. Yep. Okay.
I don't know. I'm holding on hope.
Off 1 year. How dare you?
Because we're getting this great Sammy tour coming out this summer that I'm going to check out. Best of all worlds. He'll be doing a bunch of the Sammy Hagar era. I'd love to see, you know, and I'm listening to Van Halen 2 all day, where Dave, I think, probably sounded his absolute best on Van Halen 2. So, yeah, I want more of that. And I look at a guy like Elton John who can still sing. And he's, what, 163 now? Like, I saw him in Saskatoon a few years ago. He was still belting him out. Still got a set of pipes on him. There's guys out there who take care of their voice, Paul McCartney, who still sound really good in concert.
I think Dave's way older than 69. Elton John, but I could be wrong about
no,
that.
No, he's 69. Elton John's got 10 years on him at least, because Dave's 69.
Oh, wow,
Elton's
okay.
Got to be, because McCartney's 80.
Yeah.
So Elton John, he's 76. So yeah, he's got a few years.
Okay,
Dave,
okay. So he's got a few years. All right. Well, Dave, let me put it to you this way. Dave looks like he could kick the bucket at any moment. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but it's like he may not be pushing 80, but he looks like he is, and that's not a good look.
We got a great quote from Jeff Brown here. It says, "I'd prefer to remember him as the Clown Prince of Rock, not just the clown."
I don't think he looks these days, especially when he grins. He looks like Jim Carrey from The Mask.
Oh, yeah.
With the green. I was like,
when he's got the mask on or when he's got it off?
When he's got it on.
not a compliment, but that's hilarious.
All right. And that's all the news. Mark Meyer in the Van Halen News Desk.
Well, all right, you guys, as we say, we get it from the new Van Halen News Desk. So go check out those guys. They're good friends of ours, and it's where we get our news. So, moving on to the rock and poll of last week. Last week we covered an old favorite for a lot of people, and the voting would certainly indicate as such. We talked about Jamie's Crying from the old school debut Van Halen 1, and no surprise here. The voting definitely showed how much people really love this album still, us included. A whopping 92.6% What Dreams Are Made Of versus a 7.4% Dream Is Over. I am more curious as to, out of the 135 or so votes, who voted this thing down? Like, there are actually people that don't enjoy Jamie's Crying. And I wonder if it's like if it's the Jump effect. You know, there are a lot of people that downvoted Jump, not because they hated the song, but because it was overplayed for them. Or, you know, it was something that it's like, yeah, it's Jump. We're sick of Jump. It's too much. It's oversaturated. So we're just going to vote it down because we're sick of hearing about it. Which didn't make any sense to me, but at the same time, it was okay. But just because it's oversaturated doesn't mean that it's not, you know, you got to give the song its respect for where, you know, its placement in the musical ether. And I think Jamie's Crying definitely deserves to be at least a 95% in my personal opinion, but 92.6, that's respectable. But I am curious, of the 135 votes, who voted this thing down? Corey, are you surprised at all by this voting result?
No, I think it's more the rounding error. Like, I'm sure there's guys out there who are just surfing Twitter on their phone, see a poll, and just click, right? And just, even listen to the song. Don't even know the show. Just, Jamie's Crying, yeah, I'll just downvote that. Like, that kind of voting. But if you look at it, I thought it was interesting. We got a real glut of Van Halen debut album tracks right in this area. Jamie's Crying at 92.6% is 16th on the poll of 120-some songs we've covered so far. But look at what's right below it. I'm the One, On Fire, and then we got Ain't Talking About Love, a spot away, too. Then above it, you got Feel Your Love Tonight, and then a whole bunch of Van Halen 2 tracks. So we got a real glut of Van Halen 2 tracks, right, in the top 20 here, right, and kind of in this same area, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. A little sweet spot for them. So, yeah. Well, I'll just go to you. I'm sure that you've got your little manifesto down, and I will happily read it. You do. But before I do that, Kevin, let me just go ahead and throw it to you. Are you surprised by the poll results, and do you have anything very quickly to add on top of what you already put in the manifesto, which I'll get to?
No, I think it came back. It's kind of as you would expect, right? It's a Van Halen 1 track. Everyone loves that album. Of course they do, because it's a perfect debut. I wasn't surprised that it came out that high. I mean, I don't think it's better than I'm the One, but that's a personal preference thing, but no surprises.
Fair enough. Well, let's see what our friends are saying about it. And I'm going to read from our friend and patron, Heath McCoy, starting us off. He says, "If it's good enough for Tony Loke, who sampled it, it's good enough for me. Ha! Of course, it's better than good enough. It's amazing. Outstanding pop hook and harmonies. Heartbreak Kid delivery by Dave. Great storytelling lyrically and musically. Ed's guitar lines are absolutely lyrical in this tune. And that Roomba drum, intro by Alex is pure joy." So I think Heath really enjoys Jamie's Crying as well. He should, because if Heath McCoy had come out and said, "Let me tell you why Jamie's Crying is trash," I would have had to DM him and go, "Who hurt you? How's your week been? Are you having a rough week?"
Yeah, I'd have been heading to Calgary. I'd have been getting in my car and heading to Calgary to go check.
Let's have a conversation real quick. What's bothering you? But moving on, our buddy Josh on Fat Man on Guitar says, hashtag what dreams are made of. There aren't any easier votes than this, an all-timer for me. And Al's drumming is just top-notch on this, from the opening riff to the 16th note hi-hats on the bridge. The vocal harmonies are perfect. Downvoting this means Van Halen 3 must be your favorite album. And that very well could be the case. I don't know. That's it. We'll have to see as we move forward. Let's see here. Rava Flav says, one of the very first songs that I heard from that new Van Halen on FM radio in New York City as a teenager, and was unlike anything else being played at that time. This song simply doesn't miss. One of the best things about this one is anybody can sing it out loud and we're all cool with it. I'll say, to a point, yes, we're all cool with it, but not anybody can. I mean, I have limits. I'll just say that. I'll say not anybody can sing it, but if you're someone who can't hit notes, I have my limits. But that's just a personal issue with me. Nevertheless, all right. So that's what we got on Twitter. So I'm going to move on over to the Discord. So if you want your tweet guaranteed read, join the Patreon. Find a tier that's right for you. If you see one that's not great for you, let Corey and I know. We'll figure something out. But one of the perks is you get a link to the Discord where the conversations are really happening. And you can list a whole manifesto on how you feel about the track that we cover. Like our friend Scott Monroe here. He says, from Al's opening beats and Ed's wailing riff, Jamie's crying has its hooks in me from start to finish. David Lee Roth delivers a powerful lyric here that tells a simple yet effective story. I also can't deny part of the song's appeal in the lyrics is the quaintness of sending a handwritten letter and calling someone on a landline versus what you do nowadays. The riff, harmonics, and solo all seem to expertly reflect the emotional beats of the story. I echo your comments that it's a sad subject matter told with uplifting music. That contrast is magic in the band's hands, creating an almost ballad-like croon that still has all of the crunchy edge of the album's other bangers. Meanwhile, the sad but fun sensibility shines brightest in the harmonized chorus, which my kids will sing along to whenever it comes on. Jamie's Crying is undoubtedly in my top five for the album. The question is, how high will it go? Hashtag what dreams are made of, and yes, that is the question. We will ask that question whenever we cover the debut album, Van Halen 1. We're not there yet. All right. Let's see. From our friend Chad, Chad Pollock, he says, Jamie's Crying, this song is what dreams are made of. In this song, I hear a lot of 50s and 60s pop slash Motown influence. I think it's a nice contrast to the cutting edge sound of that time. That was Eddie Van Halen. He's not wrong. He's absolutely not wrong there. I could hear it. Let's see. Sean McGinnity, our good friend Sean McGinnity, says Jamie's Crying is a stone cold classic. If it isn't just an homage to 50s and 60s music, it's Dave really showcasing that he is more than drum riser leaper, sword swirling, cocaine snorting, whiskey guzzling, philandering mofo. I think, Sean, you purposely did that because you knew my Southern ass would have to try and say it and make it sound intelligible. So I appreciate you for that. He is at heart a songwriter, and he tried real hard to up his writing chops with the Van Halen brothers. I think they were inspiring each other and pushing each other to get better. I will say this is one of the first times I learned about riding the hi-hat, and this was the song, I'm sure, that inspired Jimmy Donda from the Bullet Boys. Take a listen to any of their hits, an homage to Van Halen in so many aspects, including the hi-hat riding. You learn a lot about melody and structure in this song. This is a prime example of how to update an older style of music with flair and reverence and making it your own. All the Pop-Tarts on the radio these days should learn something from this one. This is how you take what came before and move it forward instead of the blatant sampling of other people's hard work. What dreams are made of, God damn it. Sean Very McGinnity, emphatic. Not a fan of hip-hop, I'm sure.
Angrily shaking his fist at a cloud.
Hey, look, sometimes I get that way too, man. The older I get, the more I relate. So
wait till you get to my age, and even worse, Kevin's age.
Oh boy, we can dissect that one later. But Jeff Brewer said Jamie's crying. Van Halen's writing was great. Van Halen was writing great pop tunes from the very beginning. While not blazing as much as the majority of this album does, this song still has some unbelievably cool guitar playing. This album is when Ed began his run as the most interesting man in the world of guitar. Certainly not my top pick for the album, but when I got my first smartphone, BlackBerry, sometime around 2009, the first thing I did was making an audio clip of about the first 15 seconds of this song, and I set it as my ringtone. Obviously, what dreams are made of. Remember setting ringtones? Y'all remember that? Anybody do that? Anyway, I still do. Pay a penny. I think they still do. I mean, it's probably a different process now, but you pay a penny and then whatever song you choose.
I know
that was your ringtone, kids.
When my wife calls my phone, the Imperial March from Star Wars plays. She doesn't like that.
You just got to remember
tell her
that
from the notebook.
Do you remember that? You know, just because you have a personalized ringtone doesn't mean you have personality. Those aren't the same thing. Like, don't get those two things confused.
Oh boy. Davey Lee Smith says, Jamie's crying. The story is that this was the only song from the Van Halen that wasn't written in the studio. According to what I got from Eric Sinich, who talked about Van Halen 1 on his Discovery podcast, which he should bring back, please, Mr. Sinich, Davey is saying. Templeman wasn't happy with Dave's cleaner vocals initially, so Dave smoked a joint, downed a cheeseburger, and a soda. Then when he got back to the studio, the take was used for what we hear on the album. I'm aware that Ed was bummed that You Really Got Me was the lead single. He wanted one of their originals, like Jamie's Crying, to be that lead single, which I think makes sense since the song maybe is the most accessible tune of the album. But nevertheless, this ain't typical top 40 radio pop rock here. I've always loved this tune. While it may not be the most blazing song of the album, it's just good hard rock with pop element perfection. But then again, all of Van Halen 1 is exactly that. Perfection, spoiler alert. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Yes, Kevin.
Mark, what does a joint, a cheeseburger, and a soda do to your vocals? I'm really curious about that because I don't really understand how that's having an effect on your... Certainly to make it go from clean to muddy.
Well,
it depend
we'll
on
say
the size
this
of the joint?
It depends on the person. It depends on whose vocal folds they are affecting. When I was doing opera, there was a guy that sang with us all the time who rarely drank clean, like regular still room temperature water like you're supposed to make sure your vocal cords are all lubed up and whatnot. He rarely did that. When we went out to eat, he bought like the most like fattening, delicious, of course, but like he just all this crap he would eat. And then, you know, he didn't really drink, but he'd like have like a malt or a shake or something. And I asked him one time, I said, man, how do you do that without getting all phlegmy in the throat and still have to get out and perform? He goes, believe it or not, something about the sugar coats the vocal folds and it helps me. And I'm here to tell you, this guy is hands down one of the most impressive vocal singers I've ever heard in my life. He's not like a big performer or anything. I think he teaches now, but I'm here to tell you, in our heyday, this dude was the shit. So for him, that's what worked. For me, I could maybe get the cheeseburger and soda aspect of it. I might get a little bit. I might feel warmed up, you know, and the vocal folds are all lubed up. But eventually, it's going to come to a point to where everything dries and everything's going to get scratchy. So I need that water. The joint absolutely ups the scratchy factor tenfold for me. If you ever meet me before a show, I have not smoked and I very rarely drink before a show too, because I'm that kind of paranoid kind of person that I'm going to sound like shit on stage because I had a drink or something. But I can't, no, if I can't do a joint before a show, I will get too loopy and I will sound awful and nope. Not for me, but some people can do it. So I guess kudos on Dave if that's what he did and that helped him. But then again, he lies a lot. So maybe that's not true. Coming around full circle, Kevin Brown says, Jamie's Crying, a solid album track. Never been much more than that to me. Would probably be a standout on Van Halen 2, but on a debut record packed to the gum whales with bangers, it doesn't have as much chance to shine. Of all the David Lee Roth tracks, it probably is upper middle third for me. Still, though, a very easy hashtag what dreams are made of.
Gun whales? Gives?
You don't think it's awesome, Kevin?
No, okay, look, the first album, I think it's one of those songs that the first album would be worse off without it because an album needs album tracks, and it's an album track. I don't think it would have done well as a single, to be perfectly honest with you. If that's your lead single, no one knows the band. I don't think it neither showcases Ed's virtuosity, really, and it also doesn't show that party side. It's kind of that middle ground where it's a really interesting song that's really cool because it doesn't sound like either of those things. But is it one of the best songs on the album? Not for me. I mean, that side one of that album is probably one of the best sides of any hard rock album that's ever been recorded, right? So following that up, it's really, really, it's in really, really rich company. So I think that's the only reason, really, right?
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yeah, it's just that word turnabout.
I gotta say, I kind of agree with Kevin, though. I think we're on the same wavelength on this track. Upper middle third, and if I was ranking Van Halen, probably be in my mid to bottom third, which is still, like, when I was doing Van Halen 2. My lowest track is a 9 out of 10 on Van Halen 2. Pretty much the same on Van Halen 1. So to mark that one low on that record is just a testament to how great the rest of that album is.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. Let's see if Brad Gould agrees. Our buddy Brad Gould says, thumbs up for sure. Almost a quick and dirty sampling of what makes Van Halen great. Fun lyrics, amazing harmonies, a fat stank guitar sound, and a driving rhythm section with some sweet cymbal work by Alex Van Halen. The only disappointment is Ed's solo. Fits the song, but there isn't much to it. Thumbs up for sure, but not their best on this album. Now, I will say that. I mean, there's really not much of a solo in Jamie's Crying, but honestly, I don't think it needs it. Like I think the song speaks for itself. We went all through that last week, so if you missed the episode, please go back and check it out and then come back here. But would it have been improved with a rip-roaring Eddie Van Halen classic solo? Maybe, but maybe not.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because I was listening to Van Halen too. Dance the Night Away doesn't have a guitar solo really in it. Does that song suffer from not having Eddie Van Halen guitar pyrotechnics in it?
No, that song is perfect.
Enough said.
Good. Kevin agrees. Awesome. So,
yeah, no, I'm not going to talk about it. I don't need to say anything.
Oh, I see what he's doing there. Gotcha. All right. And lastly, our buddy Brett from Dissect That Film says, it's weird to say, but Jamie's Crying is, to me, a low-tier track on Van Halen 1. Even with that being said, it's still a good track. It's just nowhere near on the same level as 95% of that album. Going from this into Atomic Punk is like Timmy getting shocked off the fence in Jurassic Park. Yeah, I just did that. Still, What Dreams Are Made Of for me, though I love the whole album. I'm not going to argue against that, like, at all. Because, as you said, as what many of our friends said there, it's hard to... when it's an album full of bangers and then there's this one, like, it's good, it's a great song, but you're probably not gonna rank it as high as you might with the other ones, because again, it's a murderer's row of just like hit after hit, banger after banger. I personally think Jamie's Crying adds to the charm of the album in that it being just nonstop bangers. I think you have to include Jamie's Crying in that conversation, but that's just my opinion. So that is what our people are saying. Thank you all so much for letting us know. And as I said before, you guys, if you want your tweet or your little manifesto guaranteed read on the show, join the Patreon. You'll get a link to the Discord. You'll get involved in the discussion where it's all happening. So do that. Corey, it's time to do the thing, man. It's time to do not spinning the wheel. But right before that, our other favorite thing, grab a drink, take a shot, say it with me, manifestation time.
Yes, sir. No one's called their shot in a few weeks here. I'm thinking we're due.
Except for me.
You were the last one. You were the last one. Now, Kevin Brown, you have one manifestation on Seaside, right? Out of the however many shows you've called your shot one time?
Yeah, just the one out of 70. We've done 70 now.
Still, it's pretty good. Yeah. Well on your way, though. Like, I'm currently at 5. I I don't know if I mentioned that before.
Never brought that up. I see. It's strange that he's never brought that up, Mark.
Wait until the
where's my five timer club T-shirt, Kevin Brown?
His shirt and his custom made championship belt with the big five on it.
I want a scepter. I want a crown. Yeah.
He's going to be insufferable.
I already am. What are you talking about? He's going to be. Holy cow!
You said it, not me. But you know what, Kevin Brown, we're going to start with you, man. You're on the show. You've come back to us. So what do you for Hold this on. Special edition?
I got to play his theme music. All right, here we go. Continue. Oh, oh no.
And there he goes. We lost him. Nope,
he's back. Walk off.
I don't blame you. I almost walked off.
Well, you know, he's just look at him. He just keeps fading in and out, Mark. He's taunting me.
He's very much taunting you, yes.
I'm sorry. Bastard.
Can't stop him. He's
You're our guest.
Away,
I shouldn't treat you so poorly. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to give you my manifestation, then I'm going to tell you what I think we're going to get.
Okay.
Just because I'm on the nano, I think the wheel's going to fuck us because I'm on. But I want to hear either Amstershock or Afterdam. Either one of those two would be good by me, you know, and interchangeable. No, you know, let's go for Aftershock. I really like that song. I think Aftershock is the one I want to listen to, but the one I think we're going to get is that whatever that last song is on A Different Kind of Truth. Just because I've been ragging
Trouble
on
with
Dave.
Never?
Trouble with Never. That's the one I think we're probably going to get.
Okay.
So.
While I sit and think for a second, I'm going to throw it to you. What song do you want to call your shot and manifest and potentially join the six-timer club?
Oh, man, I would be even more legendary than I already am if I joined the six-timers club. Let's go to the Discord first. Scott, regarding Van Halen 3 Monroe, wants Atomic Punk, as does Josh. No, Josh wants Josephina, Thief of Joy. Brad Gould wants Atomic Punk. Brett from Dissect That Film, he also wants Atomic Punk. And Michael Triplett, can't believe he missed Jamie last week. He's going with House of Pain. And Jeff Brewer is mad because everyone was stealing Atomic Punk. So he's going Hang 'Em High. And he actually took mine because I was thinking I'm really in the mood for some Diver Down. I would love to hear Hang 'Em High tonight. So that's what I'm going to manifest here, along with my good friend Jeff Brewer, Hang 'Em High. Mark Kammeyer, what are you in the mood for here tonight? What do you think is going to come up? Oh, sorry, Kevin has a question. Well, yes,
you missed a couple. So you missed Tom and David Lee Smith are going for Big Bad Bill. And the agent of chaos that is Chaz Charles wants Joe's a fucking Fina, which I don't see on the wheel. I just see a Josephina. I don't see a Joe's a fucking Fina on there.
Oh, see, because That's those the, were all last week. I didn't read those. See, if you look at the date, February 28th.
Yeah, but they haven't manifested since then. So I assume that their manifestation is still in place.
Okay. Well, I guess they didn't re-manifest. Really so, yeah, we'll go way, back. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Big Bad Bill. And I know Sean McGinnity also really looking forward to Big Bad Bill. So,
what do you think, Lydia? What do you think I should do? Okay. Well, I know what she's manifesting, but she—that's not even a Van Halen song.
Manifesting
she's
a nap.
She's manifesting some nip is what she's manifesting. Lydia is my cat. For those that don't know, I was going to manifest one song and then. I can't manifest that one anymore, so I too will be manifesting for tonight, Atomic Punk.
All right. Van Halen 1. Well, here's hoping. A lot of fans of Atomic Punk. Be looking forward to getting into that one. Let's we'll bring in the wheel here. Let's take a look at how many people we have lurking. We have 8 lurkers. We have 3 on the call. So what do you say I shuffle this thing 11 times?
Holy moly.
Might as well, yeah.
9, 10, 11. All right, you boys ready to rock and roll?
Always.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Oh, let's finish off 1984. House of Pain. Almost Josephina. Thank the maker. We didn't quite get it. And look what we just missed. Hang 'Em High. I just missed the Six Timers Club.
It'll happen again. As you know, look, now that we've got 9 songs left, it's going to be way easier to call the shots. So your time will come, Corey. Your
Good
time will
point.
Come. But until then, you're still in the Five Timers Club. And it looks like House of Pain is where it's at. And you know what that means. We have finished after this another album.
Yes, sir.
Yet another one.
Not just any album. The album that got me into Van Halen originally, 1984. It was a young, impressionable lad of 10 watching Much Music in Canada and seeing the video for Jump. and thinking, wow, that guy's really drunk, and wow, that guy can really kick, and then, hey, this song is pretty good, and then it just grew from there.
The one would say it's the Van Halen album. I know a lot of people won't agree with that, but it's hard to argue with the numbers, and it's hard to argue with the hits on it, so there it is. Once we break this thing down, we've got yet another album to talk about.
And Michael Triplett called a shot. Granted, 1 in 10. He still got it, though. Michael Triplett, you're now still a member of the Manifestation Club. Congratulations, my friend.
Good job, Michael. Right on. All right. So, any words before we get into this, Kevin Brown? What you got to say before we get into the nitty gritty of House of Pain?
I was looking at what you have left before, when Corey had got a hold of me earlier and asked if I wanted to come on. I was looking and I was like, man, you look at 1984, really. I mean, if you ignore the intro, 1984, the synth kind of instrumental, there's only 8 songs on that album, but it's tight, man. It's so tight. Mm-hmm. And to finish up with House of Pain, I mean, it comes after, what does it come after? Girl Gone Bad. So you go, I'll wait, Girl Gone Bad, and you finish up with House of Pain. It's great sequencing on this record too. I love the album start to back. There's nothing on here I would change. I don't think you could add to it or take off and make it better. And it's a good closer, man. House of Pain's a good closer.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Yes, Van Halen knows how to close a record. We'll find out, I guess, if they succeeded with House of Pain. Mark, I'm assuming you've never heard this one, so what do you say we get right into it?
I'll let you think I've never heard it.
All right, let's go all the way back to 1984, track 9, from their classic diamond-selling record, 1984. This is House of Pain.
So straight away, this intro, and every time I listen to this, I love it because, and you, Corey, we've talked about this on other podcasts before. I'm a sucker for where songs that start and you're not exactly sure where the one is. And the riff doesn't quite start on the one, and then the kick drums, where's Al coming in? And then it resolves, and when you get that main riff, I just think that's really, really cool. I always love that.
It's almost like introducing chaos in a way. You know, it's just like, yeah, as you say, it's not on the one, it's kind of on the surface might feel like it's just out of all over the place here, but no, there is a structure to the madness, but it is it's a little kind of off kilter, but man, but as soon as it rips into it and it becomes an Alex Van Halen showcase, I think, because either that or just the drums are just so kind of up in the mix and he's doing a lot just in this little bit here. And that's it's fun to hear that. I've become such a fan of when Alex gets those moments to take center stage.
And speaking of Alex, he's the one that insisted this song be on 1984. I guess they played this in the club days. Different lyrics, maybe a little different arrangement, but they reworked it for 1984, and Alex insisted it be on the record. And to no one's shock, he's a standout on this track.
That tracks, because this sounds like it would be it sounds like it could be something from the early days that they reworked, you know, because it doesn't sound like a particular. Not that it doesn't flow with the rest of 1984, but it feels like it's a song that it's a little bit outside the structure.
The Jump and Hot for Teacher, I'll Wait with the big synthesizer. It does feel a little bit outside. It has kind of a Van Halen 1 or 2 feel to it. So yeah,
but I think that's a good thing though. I think it was very smart for Alex to put this on here, because then. Now 1984, however versatile and how dynamic it already sounded, now it sounds even more so, because hey, like, check this shit out, we also got for you on this album. And like, oh, okay. It's like that wasn't the synth power rock sort of pop sensation of Jump whatsoever. It was, I don't, what the hell was that? It was a little taste of old school is what it was.
Jeff Brewer says he loves it, just Ed and Al going out there together. Chaz, back in the chat, how's it going, buddy? Some of Roth's nastiest, best lyrics. We're talking about, say you're going to leave me because I only tie you up. I always loved you tender, but you only like it rough. Scott Everett reminds us all, it was on the 77 demo. Yeah, the Gene Simmons demo. This song was included on there. And then Chaz says, specifically for you, Kevin, I'd like to hear Lars Ulrich do that intro. How do you think he would perform that, Kevin?
Like a fucking epileptic chimp on steroids and speed after. Yeah, no, he couldn't play that. He just couldn't play it.
Well, I tell you what, I actually found a clip of Lars trying to play it. Here we go. Oh, didn't quite work. Didn't quite work for
That's
me.
About right.
Yeah. All right, what do you say we get back into it?
Get to it.
Anyone else kind of shocked at how in back in the mix David Lee Roth is?
A little bit, but yeah. It's not the first time we've heard that.
It's not. I guess I was listening to Van Halen 2 all day, where he's right up front on every single track except for Spanish Fly on Van Halen 2. But here he's way back, and it's all about Alex, right? And Eddie, too, with that riff.
Those cymbals, man. I mean, he's just going absolutely apeshit on those cymbals there. And you think, how many fucking hands does this guy have? It's insane how good he is at that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, with Roth being a little bit further back, I think, you know, there's no real verse chorus structure in this song. And the lyrics are, you know, they are what they are. They're not really super narrative or anything, but I think they're a bit more rhythmic. And it's that thing where, you know, it's that extra instrument where he's adding, so they don't need to be brought really front and center, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yep, no, I totally agree.
It's got that sort of punk rock vibe in that, you know, it's not trying to follow a specific, you know, structure in terms of how to create a song. You know, what do you have? Whereas what is the usual, like, Van Halen norms? Like, verse, chorus, not two verses, is like verse, chorus, maybe a bridge and solo, chorus again, and like, but this one's just kind of, no, we're just doing like the straight riff. It's going into this and we're not repeating, you know,
and full on Stank.
Are you Tony Stank?
Tony Stank showed up big time on that riff. But yeah, to me, this is Alex Van Halen in all his glory. I'm loving it.
I was about to say, he's Tony Stank in this song.
Fucking right he is. All right, let's keep going.
We'll be right back.
know that's how you push a song. That's
holy motherfucker. I know we're going to talk about, we talk about Eddie a lot, but Jesus, Alex Van Halen, motherfucker. If he's not one of the best drummers in rock and roll, like, oh my God. And Kevin's like trying to play along. Like you said, how many hands does he have? We already know he has 6 feet because he's doing like six kick pedals on Huffer Teacher. And whenever he's doing double kick, it's like quadruple kick. He's got to have like a, you know, eight arms too. Like a fucking octopus. He's all over the kit. And then that one roll that just super fast. Yeah. Oh, my God. He's the anti-Lars Ulrich. I'm sorry.
He's the MVP of the song so far. That's true. And that's just not taking away from everything that Eddie is doing, because Eddie's doing quite a lot. Quite a lot. Just to, he's not even trying to keep, I mean, he's keeping up. He's not trying, but you know what I mean? Like, if Alex is center focus here, then Eddie's going to do everything he can to add flavor to the drumming. And boy, oh boy, he's throwing the entire spice rack at it.
No shit. Okay, Chaz wants all our Van Halen historians watching the feed right now. What guitar did he play for the rhythm? Anyone know out there? I have no idea. Again, I'm listening to that riff, and it's complimenting the drums. Normally, it's Alex on the drums complimenting what his brother's doing on guitar. To me, this song is the opposite. But what guitar did he play for the rhythm? A 1984? I'm not sure. I'm sure Josh or somebody in the chat will know that.
Would it be his old gold top, maybe, if it's a different one?
Maybe.
Possibly. I don't know. Yeah, that's a,
I don't know.
That's a question for the better informed guitar nerds. You guys let us know.
That's right. We're not Van Halen experts. We just play them on podcasts.
Exactly.
All right. God.
Those fucking dive bombs. Oh my God, man.
Well, I mean, yeah, y'all know I love me my dive bombs. Here's what I'll say. I love it. I think it's one of his most rip-roaring solos that Eddie has put on record. However, I feel like if he wasn't so far back in the mix, we would be able to hear more definitely, more clearly, so many things that he's doing. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that's getting kind of lost by the wayside because everyone's so far back in the mix, except for Alex. Alex is still front and center. And I'm not saying Alex should have toned it back at all. No, not at all. I just wish at least in that section during the solo that Eddie was turned up just a little bit in the mix, just so we could hear a lot more of the clinic he's putting on, because holy God, what you can make out is just, it's just insanity.
See, and I think it all melds together perfect, because to me the drums are the star, and they go back and forth with the guitars. This is a Van Halen brother clinic on how to rock, and they do it better than fucking anybody. And all of a sudden then Alex playing the fuck out of his kit, then all of a sudden he goes to the ride somewhat. He's playing that bell. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. And then Eddie's playing along perfect to that. And then they switch it up again. It's fucking amazing. I love this track so fucking much. Now I'm thinking, man, if I got to rank 1984, House of Pain's like number what? One, two? Jesus. Like, oh my God. I was just so in the mood for an Alex Van Halen track. And that's what we got here tonight. He is fucking killing it on this. And Eddie is just brilliant as always. But the way the guitars work with the drums, it's a marriage made in heaven.
So you were talking earlier on about Greg Reynolds' book, Van Halen Rising. I did finish that book fairly recently, within the last like 5 days or so. And can you imagine being one of those, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids who sort of packed into these backyards in Pasadena, ready to, you know, there's going to be some rock band playing. Oh, great. Well, there's going to be a bunch of beer there. There'll be a bunch of girls. There'll be a bunch of guys there and whatever you want to do. And then this band comes out, this bunch of fucking kids come and play this. And I'm the One and fucking Take Your Whiskey Home and all these songs, like you can see why they were just a cut above what everyone else is doing and why no one wanted to follow them, why no one wanted to follow them on stage, and they didn't want to lose their opening act, because how do you follow that?
I wish I could have been on seen them on that first tour with Black Sabbath on the verge of breaking up, and just watch them blow them and fucking Ronnie Montrose off the stage every single night. Yeah. But in the chat, our experts have been looking for the information on the rhythm guitar on this track. They're speculating the Flying V because he used it on Hot for Teacher. Maybe that one. Josh says, I've been scouring my sources. Can't nail down which guitar for the rhythms. The rhythm guitar track sounds a bit spongier than the Flying V that was used on Girl Gone Bad and Hot for Teacher.
Hmm.
Chaz points out the earlier version wasn't as good lyrically. Yes, David Lee Roth grew up quite a bit from 1977 to 1984. Yeah, instead I'm going to make it about bondage. Let's go with that. And Michael says, Corey just showed his hand. Yeah, I'm not real subtle on this one. Sorry about that.
Come on.
But how can you be? Like, my God. This is why I do a Van Halen podcast. For like shit like this.
This is why.
And I kind of forgot how much I love that section of House of Pain. I always knew I really dug this song. But you kind of forget until you got the headphones on, you got your buddies, you got the whiskey flowing, and you're listening to it. And it's like, oh my God, this band. Unreal.
It's kind of cheeky though, leaving the last track.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just lead you out with this little piece of virtuosic
brilliance. Yeah.
Perfection. You know.
Great closer though. Absolutely brilliant closer though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, they leave you with a taste of nostalgia. You know, it's like if you were there for us in the club days, you might recognize this one, you know?
Yep. Josh hears a little bit of Stone Cold Crazy on the main riff. Kind of a good call. I could hear that a little bit.
Yeah.
It's
a similar feel to it, yeah.
Yep,
I hear it.
All right, let's keep going.
There they go.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's just
this fucking band
doing the thing will always leave you wanting just a little bit more with that last one and just fading off into the sunset.
Yeah, you always put the best shit in the fade out. Was that a Scott Everett points out, and this one sat on the shelf for 7-8 years. That's how damn good they were.
Which,
exactly.
Talk about that with the feel of this, and maybe we'll get to this as we start wrapping up, but you can almost see this on Fair Warning too, right? Because it's got that slightly kind of darker, harder edge to it. There's no prettiness to this at all, and Fair Warning is quite a dark album. So you wonder about, they must have had conversations about, well, what about that one for this album? What about that one for this album? But man, leaving it to 1984, like I said, just to balance the album out and give it that sort of the width of what Van Halen can do, masterful.
Yeah, very much so. I don't think it was an accident that they included this one. I think you say Alex like really fought for this to get on there. I think he was onto that idea. I think he was saying like, yeah, let's give him a little taste of this old song we used to do, just to kind of, yeah, as you say, Kevin, like balance it out. Like we threw out some bangers here, some more on the pop side of it all, and why not, you know, just hit them over the head with some rip roaring, you know, hard rock that we used to do, you know, from the club days. Why not? Let's try it.
Yeah.
And there you have it. There you have the House of Pain. And we're gonna exit that house because, like, holy Lord, there's a lot to think about and a lot to sort of reel around in our brains on how we want. I think because the song's been out for so long that we already know exactly where we're gonna vote. So then I put it to our guest for the evening and our honorary panelist, Kevin Brown. Always a pleasure having you, sir. So you did not call your shot on this episode. That's okay. There's plenty more show left to do, and there's fewer songs. You'll call your shot again soon, I guarantee it. But my question to you is, should Van Halen have included this on 1984, thus making it What Dreams Are Made Of, or should they just should have just left this in someone's backyard from their clubbing days, from their backyard days, and the dream is over. What say you?
Yeah, man, come on. I mean, what? How can you? It's, again, it's one of those songs. If you, what's the point of being a Van Halen fan if you don't like this song? Like, I don't get what you would be nitpicking on this. Every part of it's great. And we didn't talk about Mikey. That's another reason that Al sounds as good as he does quite a lot of the time, is because Mike Lantinen knows exactly how to match that kick drum, knows where to play, knows where to fill in those gaps that Al's leaving. It's just a masterclass top to bottom. And also, like, you know, me and you both, Mark, have ragged on Dave here and there. It's a great vocal on this song. Like, and all that in the breakdown, it's just great, man. That's what he does well when he's in that low register, and he's kind of purring a little bit, and he's got that sleazy kind of thing going on. I think he does that so, so well. Great track, top to bottom. I love it every time I hear it.
Well, Kevin loves it, but the question is, does Corey love it? You know, he seemed like he was kind of a pro.
Oh yeah, I'm on the
pro
fence.
House of Pan. He might be on the fence a little bit. So I'm gonna give you just another second or two to think it over.
Okay,
and then I ask you: is House of Pain what dreams are made of, or are you just ready to not be in pain and you just want to leave the house? The dream's over.
I love this song and I love this band, and this is everything I love about this band. And Kevin stole my line again because he's a fucking prick. I wanted to talk about David Lee Roth because those little uh-huhs, perfect. He's not overselling it. He's not interjecting himself where he doesn't need to be. Perfect little accents to the song. And you talked about Mikey. He's great on that. And I'm Van Halen too. Again, I was listening to that all day. That's a Mikey record in a lot of ways. The bass not record is fucking outstanding.
Yeah.
Glad to hear. Yeah, he's perfect on this one too. Oh, this is such an Alex track, and I love me some Alex, and I can't wait for his book. And oh God, it's perfection. This is everything I love about Van Halen in 3 minutes and 20 seconds. It's fucking fantastic. So if this isn't 98% on the poll, accounting for the rounding error of the idiots out there who just, I'm going to vote no because I'm just scrolling through and all that bullshit. You see that on yours too, Kevin, who downvoted You're My Best Friend on Seaside, right? That's impossible.
I just got to pick you up there. I don't know why all the trolls suddenly have a fucking terrible British accent. What's all that
about? We all know the trolls are British. Don't try and shy away from
just
that
one. Just because we have bad teeth doesn't mean we live under bridges. Now, come on.
We saw those Hobbit movies. Trolls are British.
That's right. Thank you, Mark. This is absolutely what dreams are made of. 100% every fucking day of the week and twice on Sundays. But Mark, oh, sometimes you like to throw a monkey wrench in everybody's good time. You're the killer of parties. You're a thief of joy. Even though you have Christmas lights in your house, on your shot every single week, the question remains, is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream sadly over?
It is by no means my favorite Van Halen song. It's not even my favorite Van Halen track off this album. However, House of Pain rips. It absolutely rips. You can chalk it up to they just brought back an old song and renewed it. It was like, okay, well, maybe there's a reason why they did that, because this song rips. I didn't say anything about Michael Anthony because, if I'm being completely honest, I wasn't paying attention to what Mikey was doing. I was distracted by the Alex Van Halen clinic that is what this song actually is. And then... You get the addition of Eddie, who is not going to, in typical brothers fashion, he's going to be like, okay, I see what you're doing, but also this, you know, you're not going to get the one up on me. Like, I'm gonna show you something as well. Dave is perfectly fine in this song. I think the lyrics are, you know, they are what they are. I actually really like the lyrics on this one, and he's not overdoing it. He's not overselling it. He's not doing too many typical Rothisms, and the ones he is doing, they work. They absolutely work. My only criticism about this song really is that I wish the mix was just a little bit better here and there with a few things. Like I said during the solo section, I wish Eddie was just a little bit higher so that it's just you're just being deafened by the drums and the guitars from just the brothers just wrecking shit on stage or in the studio in this particular example. But other than that, I can't really complain about this, and I can't really see too many other people who are really into Van Halen complain too much about this particular track. And if they do, then I'm very curious to hear the reasons why. But for me, yes, absolutely. House of Pain, What Dreams Are Made Of, it rips, it slaps, it's awesome. So, yes, that's a big upvote for me.
No. What you said, though, there, before you get into that, Corey, Mark, is something interesting. Is you said if you're not listening to Mikey, sometimes you do overlook, especially with really good bass players, and it's like a good referee in a hockey game or in a football game, right? That you don't notice them because they just keep, they stay out of the way and they just keep the game flowing. And that's what Mike Lantany's so good at, is just keeping the song flowing, just making sure that that bottom end is taken care of.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mark, it's been a while since we heard this song. But I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, we're having a good time. We had a great song. Kevin Brown is here. What do you say we play Best of Both Books?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard this game before, what we do is I've got copies of the Sammy Hagar autobiography, Red, My Life, or My Uncensored Life in Rock, and the David Lee Roth book, Crazy from the Heat. I'm just going to randomly flip to a page of a book. I'm going to read a passage, and these gentlemen on the call have to guess what book that came from. First to five will win it all. So, gentlemen, your first passage from one of these books is, and I quote, "Surprise! I'm not really from the court system. I'm going to tie you up, put you in the trunk of your car. We're going to call your kid and make a few dollars. Leave you in the car, tell him where you are, and everything will be cool. Anything goes wrong, I'm going to shoot you." Which book is that from? Let's start with Mark Meyer.
Is that the O.J. Simpson book?
Did I grab the O.J. book by accident? I don't know.
Too soon.
I think he grabbed O.J. Oh, that's too soon, really? I think he grabbed O.J.'s memoir. That's what I think. Oh, my God. Well, that is an absurd and outlandish quote. My brain wants to go one way, but I think that might be the wrong way. But I'm gonna follow my gut. I'm gonna say that's a Roth quote.
All right, so you're guessing "Crazy from the Heat" by David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin Brown, what do you think?
I think it is. Yeah, because it just doesn't feel like Sammy. I mean, it could be completely wrong, but unless it's like being told from a third person, but I think it's Dave as well.
Well, you are both correct. It was from David Lee Roth, Crazy from the Heat. All right. Passage number two. Quote, "Not this week, Bob. Damn." What book did that come from, Kevin Brown?
"Not this week, Bob. Damn." I mean, this is just a fucking crapshoot. I'll go Sammy.
All right, we got one vote, Sammy. Mark Meyer.
Yeah, I'll go Sammy.
Well, you're both wrong. That was also from
"Damn It,
Crazy from the Heat" by David Lee Roth.
It was.
Neck and neck, Mark. We're neck and neck.
I know. Yeah.
All right. Passage number three. Quote, "I came off the tour. I was fried crisp." What book did that come from? By the way, Scott Everett in the chat is killing both of you.
I'm sure he is. I think that one's actually, I think that one's Sammy.
Okay, came off tour. I was fried crisp. You're saying Sammy Hagar, Kevin Brown?
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking game theory here. I think Corey's gone two Daves, and he's thinking we're going to go Sammy. So the obvious thing for him to do to be an agent of chaos would be go Dave again, because I don't know the core. I'm going to go Dave. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to say Dave.
All right. We've got one Sammy, one Dave. The correct answer is Sammy Hagar. Mark Meyer, you're up 2-1. I like your thinking, Kevin. Yeah, Dave wouldn't say anything that plain, says Scott Everett. So. Yeah, consider that.
Hey, look, I've played this game a few times. Sometimes the quotes Corey gives me from Sammy's book made me go, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Sammy's got some good ones in here.
Yeah, the dude's still right. Talking about fucking alien abduction. Lunatic.
He might not have been wrong, as it turns out. So.
All right, Mark Meyer's in the lead, 2-1. Let's continue. Quote, "Now you look me right in the eye and tell me that I shouldn't sleep with a gun." What book did that come from, Mark Meyer?
I think that's Crazy from the Heat.
Well, you would think so, but I don't know.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, to put the worm of doubt into my brain. Thank you very much, Morissette.
So your final answer, Mark, is Crazy from the Heat?
Yeah, that's a that sounds like a very Roth thing.
Okay. Kevin Brown?
I'm just for the contract. I'm going to go Sammy again. I'm going to try Sammy.
All right.
I don't know why, but yeah.
Well, I tell you what. Mark Meyer's kicking your ass. It's 3-1. Oh. That was from Crazy from the Heat.
Fuck.
You're overthinking it, Kev.
I am. Yeah. Anything gun-related, Roth.
You're trying to play against Corey instead of, you know.
Good point.
Listening to the quotes.
All right. Here's our next passage.
That's 4 for me, right?
No, you're at 3. 3-1. Oh. Yeah. Here's the next one. Quote, I was covered in goosebumps. That was almost the inspiration for the whole album. What book did that come from? Let's start with Kevin Brown.
Well, I'm trying to think what album that could refer to then, because that's got to be... Fuck. I'm totally second-guessing everything I'm thinking now.
You're overthinking, man. Go with your gut.
I'm going to go in my gut instinct and say Roth.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got I think he might be talking about Fair Warning.
Okay. So we got Crazy from the Heat.
Yeah.
Mark Kamire, what do you think?
I think that comes from Red.
All right. Well, guess what? It's 4-1. Mark Kamire, that is from Red. He's talking about the song When It's Love.
Yes!
Fuck's sake, I'm getting battered here. This is worse than the ultimate catalog crush. I'm trying to do the fucking Spotify list that Corey always bamboozles me with. I'll never forgive you for Wham. You can stick that up your ass.
All right. Let's go to our next passage here. And I
can
quote,
still come back and win this.
That's right. If Mark can win it with the next right answer. But Kevin Brown with only 1 point. You got to hope Mark gets a whole ton wrong here. Quote, he would walk into a rehearsal and slap me on the shoulder. How you doing, he said. It hurt like a mother with all that black in the tattoo. Who said that? Mark Kamire, let's go with you.
Oh. That's probably Dave, so I'll say Crazy from the Heat.
All right, we got one vote, Crazy from the Heat. Kevin Brown?
Well, I don't know Dave's tattoo situation. I do know Sammy's. Sammy's quite into tattoos, so I'll say Sammy.
Kevin Brown, you got it right.
Look at that.
4-2.
Hey, the comeback kid is in the house.
Yeah, apparently Sammy got a tattoo with all black on it, and Mikey would come and say, hey, how you doing? Slap him right on the tattoo and cause him some pain.
Oh, what a dick.
Talk about House of Pain.
All right.
Yeah.
Mark Kamire, you're still 1 point away from winning here. 4-2.
All right, let's do this.
Here's our next passage. Quote, I was black, except where my little underwear was, from my legs to up above my belly. All you'd see is my little wiener glowing in the dark because of the contrast. Who? What book is that from? Who said that? Kevin Brown.
I just don't know if Roth would ever call his penis his little wiener. I think he'd call it something a little more grandiose than that. But he could be talking... I'm going to go Roth.
Going Roth? Okay, yeah. We got one vote. Crazy from the Heat. Mark Kamire, what do you think?
That's got to be Roth. I'm going with Roth.
Well, you're both right, but unfortunately that means Mark Kamire is one. He's the first of 5. That came from Crazy from the Heat.
Was he talking about Eat 'Em and Smile? Because he was painted in that, right? Like he was all...
You know what? It was early in the book. I flipped it pretty early in the book, so I'm not quite sure. His book jumps all over the fucking place. I lost my place now. I just read that one line. But Mark Kamire, you won. 5-2.
Look,
you beat
that.
Kevin Brown at best of both books. Congratulations.
Finally won that game.
Oh,
nice.
I got 3, didn't I, in the end?
No, you only got 2.
I thought he got three.
I got the last one right.
Oh, wait, yeah, he got the last one right.
Yeah, you got the last one right.
So
I'm sorry, yeah, you did. It was 5-3. You're right.
I want my extra points in the loss.
Yeah, it's
still terrible. So,
well, you always get extra bonus points just because you're here on the show, Kevin Brown. Oh God, another.
Oh, we got one more game. I love games. It's time to play. How many times have Van Halen performed "House of Pain"?
Mark loves games that he's not playing.
That's right, because I'm the game master. I can do this and not look like a fool. When we do Van Halen Trivia Night with Kevin, I'm going to get fucking destroyed. But until then, I'm in charge.
I'm just going to sit there and look pretty.
Well, guess what? You have to answer first here because you won Best of Both Books.
All right.
How many times do you think Van Halen performed House of Pain?
Well, they should have played it, as far as I'm concerned, every show, but they didn't do that. So I have to imagine they probably played it a lot in the early days, but maybe they didn't. Maybe they put it away, and then they brought it back for 1984. So, you know what? I'll give a little healthy number here. I think they've played this about 150 times.
150, 150, all right. Kevin Brown, remember, this is Price is Right rules. Yeah. Closest to the actual number without going over. How many times do you think Van Halen performed House of Pain?
150 is a good guess because I was thinking they would have played it plenty on the 1984 tour, I bet. Obviously not during the Sammy era, but then when Dave comes back, because it is a little lower, he can manage it, so I think they probably would have played it a few more times. I'm going to go just under. I'm going to say, maybe I'll say sort of about 120. I'll go.
120.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, you both went over. The correct answer is 115 times. Again, Scott Everett thinks just the 84 tour, so he's going to say 100. He was closest to. It was 115. They actually played it 106 times in 1984, six times in 76, twice in 77, once in 75, according to setlist.fm.
Interesting, yeah. Cool.
But that doesn't include their early days, yeah? So.
You know, a little bit in, you know, 75. 77, that kind of thing. But yeah, 115 according to them. And just to finish off, we were talking about the rhythm guitar on that track. Everybody's been doing their due diligence trying to figure out. And I think Tom came up with the right answer. He found an interview with Eddie where he said he had retired the Frankensteiner around that time, and he was just using the 5150 Kramer. So that's probably what he used for rhythm on that track.
Cool.
Makes sense. All right, well... Thank you guys for getting in on that and letting us know. And that's another one down, and that's another album down. There you are. We have completed the cycle of 1984. I know a lot of you are excited about that one. You're excited to have a live show with us and start ranking the tracks. But do that, we've still got a couple of different albums to go over. And if you're listening to this show on the Friday, that means that later tonight we are doing Van Halen 2. We are ranking, we're talking, we are rocking out, man. It's going to be a very fun show. So you guys know where to find us. Go to youtube.com, Podcast Will Rock, and get in on that live show. We'll probably do it, I think, Corey, same time?
9 o'clock Eastern time, yep.
9 o'clock Eastern, yeah, okay. So
Chris L. from Pot of Thunder will be there. Eric Sinich will be there. Fan favorite Kelsey, it's her birthday. So hopefully she's able to hop on the call at some point, but I imagine she's going to be out, you know, enjoying her birthday with actual friends instead of us losers talking about Van Halen, but you never know. She might show up.
You never know. Yeah, let me just for even just a cameo appearance at the end, that would be awesome. But everyone get your rankings ready and join us Friday night, tonight, if you're listening to this on Friday, and have us, you know, join us for the live show. Talk about Van Halen 2, an album that Corey and I have talked ad nauseum about how much we absolutely adore it. So I haven't even, at the time of this recording, completed my final rankings list because I'm having a lot of trouble with it because it's upsetting me because I don't want to put one song over another, but then I don't want to rearrange too much because that will put me into an anxiety frenzy. But these are good problems to have because that album, as far as I'm concerned, is just nonstop banger to banger. And so that's just going to make it that much more fun. And I cannot wait to see how you guys rank it individually. And the people that keep this show going, man, I got to thank our awesome patrons. You guys are keeping the show alive. You're keeping the conversations going. We love that. We appreciate you. We're going to tell you exactly what kind of people that we appreciate. Matt Lacoste, we appreciate you. Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rave Flav, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, Brad Gould, Michael Triplett, David Lee Smith, Chad Pollock, Brett Parker from Dissect That Film, Jeff Fisher, Scott Haskin, and of course, our very honored guest, extension panelist. You're basically part of the show all this time. The man that we go to when we want something really funny to sell as a t-shirt idea, Kevin Brown. Always a fun time having you here, man. Always, it's always entertaining to me, at the very least, to hear your love about Van Halen and to watch you and Corey bicker at one another like a married couple. It's great. It's hilarious. But you, like Corey, you're one of the busiest people in the podcasting universe. So tell the people where they can find you, what you got going on, all of it.
Yeah, so you can find me at the Tom Petty Project podcast over on Twitter, Facebook, Threads, Instagram, all those places. Seaside Pod Review, the Queen podcast that I do with my friend Randy Woods. Find us at Queen Seaside on Twitter and Seaside Pod Review on Facebook. And then, yeah, the Ultimate Catalog Clash that I do under duress with this lunatic on the other side here. I shouldn't say that because he edits everything.
Under duress.
Intelligible. It's a lot of fun. I can't wait for the next season. I can't wait for you guys to find out who we're doing. And yeah, so those are the three podcasts I have going on. And other than that, I'm just living my life over here.
Under
just
snow.
I'm just trying to pod, Corey.
Living your life buried under snow.
Stay warm from the torrential downpour of snow, apparently. But hey, you know, that's... They call it the Great White North for a reason.
And thanks for having me on, boys, too. It's always an absolute joy and a privilege to come back on and talk to you guys. I love this podcast. You know that. You brought me back to Van Halen. You brought me back to 1984. You brought me back to House of Pain. So thank you very much.
So I tell you what, there was only another dozen people I thought of before you for this show. And when they all said no, and you were like the 13th, I'm like, fantastic. At least I didn't have to, like, you know, dredge the bottom of the barrel.
Well, do you know what? At least one of those suckers is going to get Josephina.
That's true. Good call. Good call. <That's true. laughs>
Look, my only hope, and you know, I say this to the wheel gods and you know all the other Van Halen gods out there, just don't make that our last show.
Please.
I don't want to. Please. That's not the song I want to discuss. Like when we finally bow out, I don't want that. Let's just spin it. Let's just get it over with. I might manifest it next time, just to call my shot. I don't want to do that, but I'm gonna do it. So. There are only 9 songs left, you guys. 9 songs in our main wheel.
Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. That's insane. I talk about it every week, but it really is crazy to me that this iteration of the journey is coming to an end because Corey and I just started this thing on a whim and look at us hundreds of episodes later and we're still doing it and we're very much approaching the finish line. So. It's good stuff. It's really cool stuff. You know what else is cool stuff? I mentioned that our friend Kevin Brown has been very gracious to us, lending us his artistic hand. We've got merch, and we've got all of those funny merch items, all those shirts, all those designs usually come from Kevin Brown. So go head on over to PodCastleRock.com, check out all the backlog episodes, all of our socials, and check out the merch store where you can pick up a fun t-shirt. A lot of it is inside jokes based, and if you listen to the show, then you know, and you got to get that shirt so that you can show your people around you that don't know, you say like, hey, check out the show and then you'll know, and then they'll get a shirt, maybe they'll get an Apologies to Gary shirt and expand the army. Look at that, Kevin Brown's rocking the Apologies to Gary shirt right now. The army grows and it just puts a huge smile on my face. So do me a favor and please do that. Also, not for nothing, I've got a birthday this month, so if you want to wish me a happy birthday, get yourself a t-shirt from podcastlerock.com. But you know what else is cool? It's not just us, and it's not just you guys. It's the whole fact that we are part of a grand podcasting universe, podosphere, full of like-minded podcasts that enjoy rock music as much as we do. Corey, can you tell them what they can expect at the Deep Dive Podcasting Network?
Absolutely. The Deep Dive Podcasting Network features such classic shows as Backtracks Theme Music and Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. Both are archived now, but you can catch them out wherever you get your podcast from. But you can check out our good friend Kevin Brown at the Tom Petty Project and at Seaside Pod Review with the one and only Randy Woods. Then we have Scott Haskins at Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast, Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts, Riot's Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul Joe and David at In the Lap of the Pods, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, Quinn at In Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at Rock Roulette, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu, Chaz and Shats at Rush Rash, Chaz and Wolfie at Regarding Roger Waters, and coming soon, Chaz and Scott at Regarding Van Halen 3. Then we have the Rewind to 1984 podcast, Sean Geek and Fast Red podcast, the DLR cast, the Bogus Otis show, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, Dissect That Film, Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast, and Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. If you heard this week's show, they did a Def Leppard song, Stage Fright, and they read a yard o' questions from yours truly, Corey Morissette. They actually read my questions on the air. Chris talked about his upcoming appearance on the live show here, the Van Halen 2 live show. Sounds like he's going to be joining us for 5152 if we can make the dates work out. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But that, Mark Kammeyer, is the pod roll for this week.
And don't forget to roll on over to our YouTube channel and check out the live show. That is tonight if you're listening on a Friday, March 9th. Is it 8th? Dates are hard. But this Friday, yes, it is the 8th, March 8th, this Friday, 9 Eastern time. Join us on our YouTube channel for the live show. We are covering Van Halen 2. We're going to discuss the songs. We're going to rank them, our personal ranks, and see where they fall in line with all the voting. And it's one that Corey and I are absolutely very, very, very stoked to talk about because we love that album. And we love all of you. You guys keeping us going. You guys keeping the conversations alive, presenting some interesting new ideas. It's a great time to be a Van Halen fan, I think. You know, it depends on how you look at it, you know, with the whole David Lee Roth of it all. But never, you know, don't let that get you down. I'm trying not to let it get me down and just focus on the positives. You know what's a positive? Us, you guys, all of us talking about Van Halen week after week here on the show. Thank you so much. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.